Welcome to the Globetrotter Lounge podcast, conversations with women who have found creative ways to travel more. This is episode 66, and I'm your host, Jet Set Lizette. Today I'm talking with Dr. Gina Page, co-founder of African Ancestry, a DNA company that pioneered a new way of tracing African lineages using genetics, and a new marketplace for people of African descent looking to more accurately and reliably trace their roots. Gina travels the world helping people demystify their roots so that they can better understand who they are by knowing where they're from. Gina shares what sparked her love of travel, what led her to co-found African Ancestry, and why their company is different than the other consumer genetic testing companies out there. She also talks about the company's new curated heritage trips, which they are calling family reunions, and how one African country is now offering citizenship based on DNA results. Although this episode contains a lot of information that's pertinent to people of African descent, I think that many of Gina's tips, advice, and insights would be useful to any heritage traveler. Just a reminder that all resources mentioned during the episode can be found in the show notes at jetsetlizette.com/episode66. Before we begin, I want to mention that this episode is sponsored by Waypoint Goods, a company that helps empower women to explore the world by designing accessories that support and inspire travel. I love their signature travel scarf in beautiful custom patterns with a hidden zipper pocket that will keep your valuables safe. It also keeps you warm on cold flights while keeping everything at your fingertips. Waypoint Goods also offers destination-inspired home decor from candles to laser-cut city maps. For a 15% discount, visit waypointgoods.com and enter JetSet at checkout. And finally, before we get into the interview, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to the Globetrotter Lounge podcast. This is going to be the last episode for season 4, and I'm also basically wrapping the show because I'm about to embark on an entirely new adventure, which will lead to the creation of an entirely new podcast. If you haven't already listened to episode 57, I explain at length what I'm up to, what this new project will be about. You can also just go to travelingmyroots.com and find out what those details are. And if you haven't signed up yet, please do go to travelingmyroots.com and sign up for my audio newsletter. Right now it's monthly. It may shift to being a little more often while I'm traveling. I'm not sure yet, but that would be the best way to hear about what I'm doing, find out the backstory, learn more about all the, you know, ins and outs of like DNA travel and planning and trying to do it during a pandemic and all of that good stuff. So please join me there. And again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to all my incredible guests that have been on the show over the last, gosh, almost 4 years. And yeah, actually, it's been 4 years. So thank you to all the incredible women. And I hope to hopefully at some point compile all the gems that I've learned and that these women have shared into some kind of book or, I don't know, something that's easy to kind of read through and digest. So anyway, with that, I just want to say I'm really, really excited for the next chapter. And I hope you will join me as I travel my roots. So with that, let's go ahead and get into this final episode of the season. All right. Well, welcome, Gina, to the Globetrotter Lounge podcast. It is a real pleasure to have you here with me today. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, I appreciate the invitation. I'm looking forward to the conversation. That rhymes. Yes. I didn't mean for it to rhyme.
Well, let's start with my famous question that I always start with, which is what sparked your love of travel?
Wow. You know, I've traveled across the United States as a child, you know, visiting family in different places. And so I was always adventurous as a child to get on the plane, right? But I think what initiated the desire to do it more often once I became an adult was having traveled with my family to France. Having traveled with my family to France was really like the ultimate adventure. The only person who could speak French was my cousin, and she's the shy one. So I had all the nerve and confidence, but couldn't speak the language. So we made for quite a combination. And then that trip made me want to study abroad in college. And so I went back to France. And then that trip I made lots of friends from Senegal, West Africa, and the French-speaking Antilles. And so I then went to Senegal. And so I think after that, I just had the bug, you know, being able to visit different places and engage in different cultures with people who look like me was important and fun.
Yeah, sounds amazing. So you were able to be in Senegal. Did you study there or how long were you there?
I was there for 3 months and I went as part of a exchange program where you were supposed to work, but they didn't have anything for me to do. So I just hung out with my wealthy. I didn't realize they were wealthy until I went home with them to with my wealthy Senegalese friends for the summer.
Okay. Wow. So you had a really kind of immersive experience getting to be in people's homes and just taking it all in. So how did that trip impact you, kind of change your future course?
You never know how things are going to impact you, right? You just, when you're in the journey, you often don't know where it's leading. And so I think the way that it ultimately impacted me was it gave me an appreciation for being able to communicate in other languages and to have a realistic, not a stereotypical view of Africa and African countries and cities and people, which probably underscores what I do today in running AfricanAncestry.com. So I didn't know that that's what would happen, but here I am helping people reconnect
here you are.
To their African roots.
Yeah, so that's what I'm so excited to talk to you about. So we might as well just go there. So, you know, tell me about what led to you co-founding African Ancestry. How did this happen?
Well, African Ancestry is a genetic ancestry tracing company that specializes in reconnecting Black people of the diaspora to their roots on the continent of Africa. And I got to African Ancestry sort of through networking, I would say. I had a corporate career in brand marketing and business management, and then became an entrepreneur, left corporate America, and in the course of that was introduced to a renowned geneticist, Dr. Rick Kittles, who had the ability, done the research, to use genetics to reconnect Black people to Africa. And so meeting him, he wanted to commercialize the business or the research, but isn't a business person. I don't know anything about science, but I know how to build companies and businesses. And so I would say, and we were introduced by a colleague. So it really was through networking. But what made it all happen was it was the perfect blend of the ability to use my skill set that I had developed over, you know, however many years of school and work to launch something that never existed before, ever in the history of mankind, for a group of people that I'm passionate about. So it was a trifecta for me.
Yeah, sounds absolutely amazing that you just kind of ended up like you were meant to end up there, you know, like here it is.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if someone had told me what I was going to be doing and what it would take. I don't know that I would have signed on, but here we are.
Well, I'm so glad. So, you know, I'm familiar with other consumer DNA testing companies, mm-hmm. because I think, you know, we were chatting before and I was telling you about being an adoptee and actually initially joining Ancestry because I knew I wanted to travel to wherever my ancestors were from. I knew where my biological white ancestors were from at that point in 2016. I did not know my Black bio family at all, didn't think I ever would, and didn't join specifically to find them. I was just like, well, you know, even if I find them, we're not going to know where we're from anyway. So I'd like to at least know generally what countries in Africa I might hail from, because I want to travel there. That was my real goal. Then it became slowly this kind of amazing story of, you know, somebody prodding me, one of my friends, and then we ultimately did a detective thing and went crazy and became, you know, mini genetic detectives and found my biological family, which has been incredible. And then now I'm at this point where I'm going to take time to travel in the next few years. And your company was one that I'd heard about, but I hadn't done yet because, and we'll get into why in a minute, but I would love to have you explain what makes it different. Like, how did you end up with this specificity and ability to trace African lineage and, you know, tribal groups?
So I can explain it pretty simply. DNA has signatures. And one of the signatures that our DNA carries is our ancestry. And we can look at DNA that's only inherited from your mother's line, mother to mother to mother to mother on back. And we can also look in men at DNA that is only inherited through the father, father to father to father. We then compare the signatures of that DNA to the signatures of people all over the world to look for matches. And when you found a matching signature, you have to share maternal ancestry or paternal ancestry with that person. That's just how genetics works. And so we knew that we wanted to answer the question of where am I from for people of African descent. So my business partner compiled the largest database of African DNA signatures in the world. And then that enables us to take the signatures of people like you, like me, and then compare them to this database. So that's how all DNA testing works in general. And that's what makes us specific, is that our database is that we use for Africa is the largest. It's not segmented by regions. It's segmented by present day countries, and it's segmented by ethnic groups or tribes. The other ways that our company is different is that we give you, we don't say you're some percentage this or some percentage that from all over your entire family tree. Instead, what we say is on your mother's 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 line, you share ancestry with, for example, like Chadwick Boseman, the Limba people living in Sierra Leone. Or on your father's 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 line, take, for example, my father, Jerome Page, you share paternal ancestry with the Hausa people living in Nigeria today. So we're giving you a much more specific answer instead of going to, you know, saying, oh, well, I got 35% Nigeria region. I guess I'll go to Nigeria. You can say my paternal DNA matches with people living in Gabon today. And those people are the Ateke.
Wow. That is incredibly exciting. And, you know, I'm glad that I haven't done it yet, that I get to talk to you about it first. I think I caught on, you know, early on when I saw it, and I'd already, you know, now I was in this place of hunting down my biological father, which was great. But when I kind of widened my perspective back out to like, oh yeah, so I did want to go to African countries and try to pinpoint this. And then I had, you know, 23andMe and Ancestry.com, and they kind of give different viewpoints and, you know, different percentages a little bit and all that. I did go to AfricanAncestry.com and I did look and I noticed about the different tests you can take. And I think actually I might have looked before I found him. That could be it. Yeah. And I knew that if I tested as a woman, it would be my mother's side and my mother is white. So I was like, oh, okay, I can't do this. And I think that's right. I saw that. I knew it wouldn't help me out. So I put it aside. Now I am in touch with my biological father. And in fact, just last night, I was telling him I was going to interview you because I saw him and I said, hey, do you think you could do some tests for me again? He's like, sure, why not? You know, so now that I am in touch with him, I can have him test, right? And then that will test his father's. He can do both. He can do mother's and father's side. Is that correct?
That's correct. So as a man, your father can test both his maternal lineage and his paternal lineage. But I want to make you aware that it's very important, since you're invested in finding an African answer, that you trace make sure you trace his maternal line for sure. Because when we trace the maternal ancestry of Black people, 92 out of 100 people are going to have an African result. The other 8 people will not. It'll be European or Asian or Indigenous or something, right? When we trace the paternal lineages of Black men, only 65 out of 100 come back African. Because of the behavior of white men during the transatlantic slave, the period of slavery in the Americas, 35 out of 100 Black men have a European Y chromosome. They have a European paternal ancestry. So it's important that when you're doing this work to look for Africa specifically, that you make sure you trace a maternal lineage.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, you know, it's the reality.
Yes,
so
exactly.
It's what happened. So that does make sense. Okay. But it sounds like it could still be worth doing both with him.
It definitely is worth doing both. I just, you know, you stack the deck when you try the maternal line as well.
Okay. Great. Excellent. So, and I'm just really glad now that I do know him for so many reasons that here's like the cherry on top that I can have him test and he's willing to do that.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. We have a member of our team who is an adoptee like you, and she was able to locate her birth parents who are still married and have had other children that they raised, but she ended up finding 8 other siblings.
Wow. That's amazing.
In addition to the ones that grew up in the house. So DNA has been very beneficial for many adoptees in lots of different ways. There's one other way that we're different from the other companies, and I wanted to be sure that I mentioned that, Lisette, is that we're the only company actually that has left wealth on the table by not selling or sharing our customers' genetic information. And so when you take an AfricanAncestry.com test, once we determine your result, the lab destroys the DNA and we don't look at all of your genetic information and keep that on file anywhere.
That's good to know. That's really good to know. And, you know, I appreciate that. That's really great that you guys are doing that, because I just feel like it's sort of a given that the others, it just seems like there's a lot going on.
It's a different business model. That's all.
It's a different business model. Okay. So it seems like the results are therefore, because of the huge database, the largest database, the African database, DNA database, it's pretty accurate, right? I mean, I know I've heard about ethnicity estimates being, you know, fluid and not quite an exact science, but would you say it's fairly accurate?
Yeah, it's far more accurate from an ethnicity standpoint than anything else that you can get. Again, it's a numbers game. It's a numbers game, and it's also a quality game. So our team, or our scientist, when he was compiling the data for the database, the lineages to include in the database, he worked under the advisement of historians and anthropologists and linguists to make sure that we were collecting samples from populations that were part of the transatlantic slave trade. So we have data from all of the West and Central African countries and from almost 400 ethnic groups across the continent. If the majority of our data was, say, from East Africa or Southern Africa or even Northern Africa, it wouldn't be relevant to answer the question for people who are the descendants of those who were enslaved. So that's another factor that makes our data accurate. And then it's important to note that we're telling you present day countries. So anyone who understands world history knows that the country borders today in Africa were artificially and arbitrarily drawn during the Berlin Conference by the colonial powers. And the people self-report as being part of that particular ethnic group. And so it is fluid to the extent that when you look at the migration of Fulani people across Africa, and then you look at how the Hausa migrated from Nigeria into what is today considered Cameroon, there's a lot of mixing and people self-identify in different ways. But what we'll tell you is the people living there today, what they call themselves, and, you know, they're your matches.
Great. That's really fabulous and important. I mean, because then, yeah, now someone like me who wants to travel there, you could say, well, historically it was such and such, but I want to go to where the people are now and identify, you know, where it is now I want to go, right? So,
right.
Yeah. And I mean, what an important service for African Americans. I mean, geez, I just kind of like how as an adoptee, I thought I would never find my birth father. DNA changed all that. And now similarly, I thought, well, there's no way to know where I'm from in, on the African continent. And once again, DNA and specifically your company helps to answer that question that I thought could never be answered.
Yeah, it when you think about it, it really is a powerful tool, because we're the only group that can't point to a country of origin. We know we're from Africa, but our friends and colleagues and neighbors and classmates, they can even just look at their last names and know where they come from. And none of us can do that. Not a single person of African descent can use the traditional genealogical tools to get this level of detail. So, you know, I believe that the ancestors want us to know who they are. And that's why we're able to do this work. Just like we're going to want our grandchildren and great, great, great grandchildren to know who we are. We now get to connect in a small way with those who came before us.
So powerful. And yeah, such a gift that we're being given. I love that you said that it's our ancestors, they wanting to be known, you know. So let's talk about the travel part of it. Have you been able, well, you've been able to identify your African roots, and have you traveled to those places? And what was that like for you now that you knew who your people were?
So my ancestry is found, about four of the lineages in my family tree are Nigerian, various Nigerian ethnic groups. And I have not had the opportunity to travel to Nigeria yet. However, I have traveled to Cameroon and had with a total of 145 people who we traced to Cameroon. So I've had that experience through them. And this year I traveled to the country of Sierra Leone with 59 people whose ancestry we had traced to various Sierra Leonean ethnic groups, and they got citizenship.
Wow.
And so I can tell you, not from my own experience as a returnee, but having watched and spent time with people while as they're returning, that it is, I can't even really put words into it. You know, you see this sense of awe, you see a sense of excitement, you see this immediate sense of pride, people feeling this sense of belonging like they've never felt before. Everywhere you go, people are saying, welcome, you are welcome, you are welcome, which as an American, as a native English speaker, it sounds like they're responding to us having said thank you. That's what it sounds like. But what they're really saying is, you are welcome here. So glad to have you here. The excitement when you see people who may look like, you know, other relatives in your family, or may look like relatives of friends that you know, right? And having them excited to know that you are the children who were lost, who are now home. To hear the president of Sierra Leone say, we see you, you have a home here, all lives matter here, Black lives matter. Like, and then that's the other thing. To be in a country where being Black is not even something they think of. Like, that's not how they identify themselves, because everybody.
Right. It's not so relevant.
Yeah, it has been hands down the most fulfilling part of my personal African ancestry experience and my professional African ancestry experience, to watch people physically reconnect with a land that they knew nothing about months or years before, and that they never could have imagined, to your point, that they would experience.
Wow, sounds absolutely incredible. Were you organizing these trips? You mentioned, you know, there were quite a few, on the one to Cameroon and then 50 some mm-hmm. on the trip to Sierra Leone. Tell me about the trips, and are there opportunities to do that coming in the future?
So with Cameroon, that was in 2010 and 2011, we partnered with an organization one of our partners now called Arc Jammers. And they are a group of African musicians and music lovers who are focused on reconnection. So the Cameroonian arm of Arc Jammers arranged the trip. Our role, because everything you do with African ancestry is confidential. So we are the go-between. We can't give them your email, let them know who you are, but we can say we have this experience and if you want to know. So we kind of act as a conduit. And then in 2019, at the end of 2019, right before the pandemic, we launched African Ancestry Family Reunions. And those are specially curated birthright journeys curated by us where people can go home and have a culturally immersive experience. And so the trip to Sierra Leone in April of 2021 was the inaugural African Ancestry Family Reunion. And in that one, we planned everything. And so it required the person who manages that for us to spend time in country, get to establish relationships with the government, the Ministry of Tourism, the Monuments and Relics Commission, and then different hotels and, you know, tour operators. And because when you go with us, you're not just going on a tour, right? You're going home, you're going to meet the people, you're going to have a naming ceremony, you're going to see the important parts of the country that are related to our experience. And so, yeah.
Wow. And tell me about this citizenship piece. I did see a press release about that, but I'd love to hear you talk about that.
Yeah. So the citizenship that Sierra Leone is offering came as a surprise, because everybody wants to be able to go home. And during the pandemic, more than ever, people are looking for another place that they can go and call home outside of the United States. So in 2020, well, actually, probably since maybe 2018, there's a group of people who've taken our test who have been started going to Sierra Leone fairly regularly, becoming embedded into the community, being very active, and they started lobbying for citizenship. And so in November 2020, they were successful, and a handful of them were given citizenship. And then when that happened, the government reached out to us, because anybody could go and say, oh, I took an African ancestry test and you should give me citizenship. And so we were able to formalize the process with them so that they understood how DNA works, how different DNA tests work, and what it means when someone shares genetic ancestry with the Mende or the Temene or the Limba people in that country. And so we're not the only people that take trips there. Of course, there are other tour operators that had people traveling and getting citizenship, but we made sure that we got that we're involved so that we can provide some validity and some credibility to the experience.
Wow. Phenomenal. So are you going to look to partner with hopefully other African countries and do other, you know, similar kind of partnerships where you can help foster citizenship?
Yeah, now that's a dream. So we do have other family reunions planned, but Sierra Leone's the first country to offer citizenship based on DNA. And other countries now we've talked to, and they've approached us, they're interested. And then some countries, it's as part of their constitution, they can't give citizenship. For example, Cameroon. So ever since we were there in 2010, there have been efforts in the government to make changes to the citizenship requirements to accommodate for DNA descendants. Because this is all new, right? Before we launched in February of 2003, nobody could use DNA to tell you that. No one cared to use DNA to answer that question for Black people. It took a Black scientist and a Black businesswoman to create the supply. Plenty of people want to know, but other companies, they're not focused on the same target market we are. And that's because they don't look like us, you know, and it's not a diss. It's just, you know, you do what's meaningful to you. But now, I'm just rambling. Let me stop.
No, it's great. Again, just feeling a sense of gratitude. I've been getting chills listening to you talk about this because, again, I'm planning to go, but I need to do some more tests, it looks like, first, or have rather my birth father do the tests. But, I'm just really excited about this. So I know you said, obviously, you are curating these family reunion trips. Any other resources or anything else you want to mention or advice for people like me who are hoping to do this kind of cultural heritage travel to African countries?
I would say that when you are looking to do cultural heritage travel to African countries, that you do a lot of research, as much research as you can about the country and its relationship to whichever country you live in, its relationship to the African diasporan experience. That will help inform what you do when you're in the country, right? So for example, if you were to travel to Senegal, Gore Island is a very popular landmark because that is where the enslaved Africans or the captured Africans were held prior to being put on the slave ships. You can go to Cape Coast Castle Dungeons in Ghana for that experience. You can go to Bunce Island in Sierra Leone for that experience. You can go to Bimbia in Cameroon. So, you know, you want to kind of have a historical perspective so that you can get the most out of your trip. I think it's important to network with people who are from that country, who live where you live now, because there's always somebody back home that they can connect you with so that you're not just always eating in restaurants and that you can have an authentic experience with the family. So that's important. Take an empty suitcase because there's so many beautiful fabrics and clothes and artifacts and everything. And you could just take an extra suitcase or give all your stuff away while you're there and bring some really cool stuff home. I think it's also important when you're looking to travel to an African country that you keep the American government advisories in perspective. And this may be an unpopular position because, you know, you should listen to the government. But unfortunately, African countries don't receive the same level of respect as non-African countries. And so you'll hear the worst, even from our own government, about what's happening in a country you want to go to. Case in point, the COVID level warning, whatever that thing is, was so high. It made you not want to travel to Sierra Leone in April. And when we got there, they had the lowest cases of COVID of any African country.
Wow. Okay.
But if you listen to the government, you're thinking, oh no, I can't go there because I'm going to die of COVID. So I'm not saying the government isn't important and I'm not saying that you shouldn't pay attention. I'm just saying, keep it in perspective. And then there's always the embassy. We're lucky to have embassies here in the United States and in other countries too. And so I think that connecting with the African embassy is also a wise decision.
Wow, so many great tips. And especially when you were talking about, you know, doing research and networking with people in your own community where you live who are from there, that's going to give you a pipeline into what's actually happening maybe on the ground there, right? Because they'll say, well, let me ask my auntie back home what's happening, or let me see if I can get you some, you know, information that's maybe a little more accurate. I don't know. It seems like it would round out what the information you're getting, right?
Yeah. And, you know, chances are that auntie's going to invite you over for dinner.
Right.
You know, or invite you to church or, you know, whatever kind of experience you're looking to have.
Yeah. And what I love about what you just shared, because, you know, I did this episode, I'm having you on, yes, because I am of African descent, and this is very important to me. But, you know, and not all of my listeners are of African descent. But I do think, first of all, people might know someone of African descent who would be really interested to hear this episode, and would hopefully they'll share that. But also, you know, I think what you just shared is pretty relevant to any preparation for a cultural heritage trip, right?
Yeah.
So the specifics of the DNA and all that, but you could kind of translate that and say, okay, well, you can do this and do DNA testing with, you know, Ancestry and find out some things and then do your research, same process. So I really appreciate what you shared and your insights, because there were some really good tips in there. So thank you for that.
Thank you. You know, there was one other thing I was thinking, that even if you are traveling and it's for cultural heritage, but it's not your culture, you still should do the research, because you can find Africa all over the world. And so if you go to Puerto Rico, you can find Africa. If you go to Colombia, you can find Africa. No, if you go to Paris, you can find Africa. And so if you're real specific about the culture you're seeking, depending on what it is, you can probably, if it's Africa, I'm just going to speak on Africa. If it's African, you can find it wherever you travel. And that makes the travel even that much more exciting.
Absolutely. Love it. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to wrap it up, as much as I want to just keep talking to you about all these things, but I really appreciate you coming on the show. I can't wait to have my birth father do some testing, see what happens, and then see if you have a curated trip planned to the area that I want to go.
You'll have to keep me posted.
Yes, for sure. I will keep in touch about that. So where can people find you if they want to follow you and find out more about all of this incredible resource and what you're doing?
We are on Facebook and Instagram as African Ancestry. We're just at African Ancestry. We have quite an extensive playlist on YouTube. We're African Ancestry DNA on YouTube. And I'm at Gina Page DNA.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I know I'll be following you and keeping in touch. But thank you so much for coming on the show and talking with me today.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for celebrating Africa. It's very important that we do that.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Thanks for listening to the Globetrotter Lounge podcast. This episode was produced by my podcast manager, Marcy Page. Show notes and resource links can be found at jetsetlizette.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, and tell your friends about the show. Thanks so much for tuning in and getting some travel inspiration. Remember, life is short, travel more.